This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to Metaphysical Universe for 12-12-12. My name is Dr. Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter, the 12th-stress.
Hey, Doug, you know, I've got my Blog Talk Radio up, and lo and behold, it's running an ad before the show. Is that a sign?
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. It's running an ad.
The world is not ending in 9 days. It's ending tonight.
That's right. I mean, what happened? I'm multitasking here, and it's messing me up. Does that mean something?
No, it means nothing.
No.
Pretty much like,
okay. It means nothing. It just means Blog Talk Radio. They're just trying to throw in some advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Doug. We are going to talk about the 2012 countdown tonight.
Yeah, we've been kind of mentioning it all year, and so we're starting our 9-day countdown. And for those of you who are concerned, no need to worry. We are going to be broadcasting live all day on the 21st, keeping you up to the minute on which disaster is happening where. Okay, that's just a joke. We're not really.
And if we're not on the air.
Yeah.
If we're not on the air, it means that the end of the world has come, right?
Assume the worst. Yeah. Well, the worst would be that the Blog Talk Radio gods or the Skype gods are not smiling on us. So.
That's worse than anything else. You know, we welcome anybody to join in the conversation tonight, either in the chat room. You can certainly call in. Our Dr. John Hightower is MIA for the holidays already. Good for him. We will see him back in the off planet.
Built a little ship
and off he went. But we'll see him in the new year. Trust us. We will all see him in the new year. And we're glad to be here. We are, after next week's show, going to take a little break ourselves. So we're looking forward to that also through the holidays. So, like I say, anybody who wants to join in, phone in, please join in the discussion tonight because we get lots to talk about.
All right, so let's get our housekeeping stuff out of the way, and then we'll get into our topic. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, MCHS Church also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. It's a metaphysics school offering bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics with a number of specializations available. For more information, visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. We'd like to do our profession of beliefs now, as we always do. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness in human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. If you'd like more information on these 9 principles of belief, please visit mchschurch.org. All right, so tonight our topic for discussion is 9 days and counting. Should you be prepared for 12/21/2012? Interesting play on numbers, you know. Even in that one, there's only a 1, a 2, and a 0. And then, of course, today is 12/12/2012. And lots of 1s and 2s and it, zeros.
It's the last time. Today is the last time that the numbers will repeat, that will triple up until 1/1/2101. That's a long time from now. I know I'm not going to be here, but at least I'm pretty sure
say?
I won't be here. I don't want to be here.
You never know.
No. Well, from another life, I could beam in again, but I really would like to pick another planet, I think, next time. There's got to be something else out there. No, 1/1/2101 is the next time we will see a tripling up of numbers. So today, I have noticed all over the internet today that there are great global meditations. I think that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I think projecting white light and good thought is awesome. I think the more, you know, energy and positive energy that we put out there, that's the point, Doug. We do it all the time in our meditations, is send out white light and you know, it's kind of like, just be happy, everybody, you know, come on. So I think it's a wonderful day for that. And but we still are in this countdown to this nine days. I saw on television last night, I don't watch Glee as a rule, but I saw this promo. Lo and behold, there's this little scene. He says, this fellow said to this girl, we're all going to die soon, but can I marry you before we die? In reference to 12/21. And I thought, wow, they're even writing it into television scripts.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's money. I mean, it's all right. So let's talk about some of the different theories on 2012. In fact, we'll get into that in a minute. I've got some stuff to share with you on that. Let's talk about the whole doomsday scenario thing. We've talked about this. Almost a year ago, we had a show on this, and we've been joking about it all year long. You know, so here we are. I mean, tonight's it's Wednesday, at least Eastern Standard U.S. time, and we've got a week from Friday is the big day, and it's also, you know, supposed to be the end of the world. The big day part of it is it's my wife Tracy and I and my anniversary, and it will be 13 years, and I know that 13 is an unlucky number, so we're all probably just screwed, but not really. So... We're going to have a nice time and enjoy that day. But so here we are, you know, let's talk about this whole thing. Let's put this thing in perspective, you know, and in the description for tonight's radio show, you know, I put in the what if, you know, what if they're all right? What if everybody's correct? What if we're all going to die? What if, you know, what if we're going to have 3 days of darkness or Nibiru shows up or, you know, an asteroid hits the Earth or we do a polar reversal, polar shift, and there's all kinds of these theories out there. And, you know, they say that the Mayan calendar ends on the 21st, and they're absolutely correct. In fact, the calendar actually ends sooner than that, really. It ends today, tonight. You know, at 11:59, it ends, and then it starts over again for tomorrow. And that's exactly what's going to happen on... Friday, you know, the 21st, it will end, and then the next day will begin. It's like any calendar year, you know. We end the year on December 31st, but that doesn't mean the world ends. It just means that the next day a new year begins, and that's all this means. So big thing, the big point of this whole program, and I'm sure that most people listening already get it, but it, just in case you're worried, just in case you have that what if question, let it go. Release it. The world will not end on Friday or any time soon. It just, look, the planet's been here for over 4 billion years. You know, it's not like all of a sudden we're all gonna die if we live long enough. That's actually true, but it's not gonna be like the world's gonna end on Friday. So just let go of those fears. Remember that there's money in this stuff. I'll bet you everybody remembers Y2K. And if you look up on the internet, I just did a little research before the show tonight, and Wikipedia says that there was an estimated $300 billion spent in preparing for Y2K, predominantly by the United States. And a lot of countries out there didn't do squat about it. And you know what? Nothing happened. So it's like the media, the Y2K promoters, you know, we got the same thing now. We got the 2012 promoters. We got people writing books. It's good television. It's good movie stuff. You know, that's what it is. It's drama. And it gets people fearful, and they buy things. They go out and they stock up on guns and ammo and food and water. And there's a whole series, you know, on whichever channel it is, Science History, forget which one, I think it's History, you know, Doomsday Preppers, and people are building bunkers and they're doing this and that and the other thing because, you know, the world's going to end. And I don't know what it is about human nature and doomsday scenarios and the end of the world, but it's been going on for hundreds of years, if not thousands. There have been so many predictions. And I'm going to admit something here, and pretty soon I'll get off my soapbox here, Vicki, but I'm going to admit something here. I have baggage when it comes to the whole doomsday thing. I have baggage. I admit that freely, and I don't know if I'm going to lose it anytime soon. But, you know, I grew up with the whole doomsday thing. I was a Jehovah's Witness. Now, if there are any Jehovah's Witnesses listening, they'll say, well, you're supposed to pronounce that you are one of Jehovah's Witnesses. But I want you to know that I said a Jehovah's Witness intentionally. Okay, that's my own stuff, not your stuff, my stuff. Okay, so anyway, I grew up with this whole Armageddon thing, you know, and I was never supposed to be here. I wasn't even supposed to get out of high school, you know, and that was, gosh, how long ago was that in high school? I was like,
yesterday.
No, it wasn't yesterday. It was more like, you know, about 12 years ago. So
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Sure.
Anyway, but that was a long time ago. So I wasn't even supposed to be here. In fact, my little brother, you know, who I don't have in my life anymore because he stayed and I didn't, you know, when he was like 2 and I was 5 or so, you know, he went around because the whole expression was Armageddon's just around the corner. So he went around the corner looking for it and couldn't find it. Yeah, you know, he never knew how valid that was. You know, it's just hype. It's designed to control people. It's designed to promote fear. And one of the big things that we don't do is promote fear. It's not a good thing. So let go of all the stuff. Yeah, we do mock it, and I proudly
mock this. Here's the way we have to, even in the new age, that kind of bites me to say that, but this new age community, the community who is working to open consciousness, let's all wake up, people. You know, there's more to life than, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yes.
Sorry, Doug. I had to throw that in there. There's more to life than what we think there is. There's a whole universe that we open up to. The problem I have in all communities right now is that they promote fear to entice you to do it their way. I find this very offensive. Mm-hmm. I find it offensive that somebody gets up at a podium and says, you know, I've been talking to aliens, and I say, cool. And then they say, well, there's going to be 3 days of darkness, but if you listen to what I'm telling you, you too will be chosen. You'll be saved. And I go, what? You know, it's always followed by come on my way, buy my book, come to my conference, come to
my church.
And I exactly, and it's offensive to me. It's I appreciate that people do become afraid. We live in a fear mongering society,
yeah.
I'm afraid. You know, it's control, right?
Mm-hmm.
How to have control over people? Well, make them fearful. And then you have power over their minds, their emotions, their bodies, and it's control. It's not true. Are we in an energetic shift, Doug? Yes, of course we are.
But we could argue that
every day changes.
Yeah, exactly. The same thing every day.
It's every day. Is this a shift of consciousness? Absolutely. Is this are the planets in different alignments? Absolutely. Are people changing? Absolutely. We are not the society we were 40 years ago because we didn't have an internet. We couldn't do this 40
mm-hmm.
years ago when I graduated high school, I might add. And it's the world has changed. Everybody is changing. You know, you can march down the street now and the whole world will know about it just by virtue of iPhones. You know, we get, geez, reality iPhones in war now. Is this a shift in consciousness? Absolutely. Are we hopefully beginning to wake up to the power and control tactics? I believe we are. I think a lot more people, I mean, I could not convince people 40 years ago, look, the government's not real. It's all an illusion. You know, it's just another way to control your mind. They thought I was some kind of, you know, foo-foo fruit
nut job
when I spoke up. Yeah. Now I can say, look, the you know, governments are businesses. So, like, go on YouTube. And I don't have to defend it anymore.
Yeah.
So are we in a shift of consciousness? Sure we are. You know, we have a collective unconscious. We have a consciousness. We have realities that we create. We agree on new terms and conditions to this reality every moment of every day. Yes, we are a changing people. But anybody who promotes a fear ought not to be speaking, in my mind. I start to short circuit, I'm afraid, a little bit like you, Doug. I didn't grow up in a Jehovah's Witness environment, but it was certainly a religious environment, United Lutheran, you know, the Anglican. And there's always some kind of fear, like you will go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not, you know, drink the blood of Jesus, you know, you're blasphemous.
I don't know.
No, I don't either. But, I mean, isn't that crude?
Oh,
think about it.
Barbaric. Eat the flesh. Yeah, it's all barbaric. But
crazy.
The
thing is, so anything that promotes fear in any capacity, religious, you know, governmental, new age, it doesn't matter. If it promotes fear, think about it. I know you want to speak. My turn.
No, I just wanted to point out that everything you're saying is true, but it has nothing to do with December 21st, 2012. It's an ongoing daily thing, and I think you made that point, that the shift in consciousness has actually been happening for some time, primarily due to the internet, because now we can reach so many people, and so many people of like mind can come together and compare notes. So let's...
Sorry, if I can just, right here is the perfect time to tell you that in the event December 21 is not real, the Pope has it figured out because he rewrote Jesus' diaries and he says we have our calendar wrong. So we have been calculating the Roman calendar wrong since the time of Jesus Christ, the BC and the AD. So we could have it wrong, and it could actually be next year, you know.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So we might actually only be in like the year 2008 or something. So, okay. All right. So let's bury the what if questions here. You know, what if they are right? What if there's something? I'm on the NASA website. And they have a real good page. I'm going to put the link. I'll read the link, too, in case you're listening to the archive on this. I'm going to put the link in the chat room. for the throngs of people that are in there can look it up too. And I will read it. It's obviously the W's, .nasa.gov, G-O-V, /topics/earth/features/2012.html. NASA.gov/topics/earth/features/2012.html. Now, they have a number of these different popular speculations and widely spread claims about some of these different things. The first question kind of is an overview of it. The question is asked here is, are there any threats to the Earth in 2012? Many internet websites say the world will end in December 2012. Their answer, the world will not end in 2012. Our planet has been getting along just fine for more than 4 billion years. Incredible scientists worldwide know of no threat associated with 2012. So, you know, it's kind of the blanket one. Then the next question is, what is the origin of the prediction that the world will end in 2012? Their answer is, the story started with claims that Nibiru, a supposed planet discovered by the Sumerians, is headed toward Earth. This catastrophe was initially predicted for May 2003, but when nothing happened, the doomsday date was moved forward to December 2012 and linked to the end of one of the cycles in the ancient Mayan calendar at the winter solstice in 2012, hence the predicted doomsday date, December 21st, 2012. The next question is, does the Mayan calendar end in December 2012? The answer, just as the calendar you have on your kitchen wall does not cease to exist after December 31st, the Mayan calendar does not cease to exist on December 21st, 2012. This date is the end of the Mayan long count period, but then, just as your calendar begins again on January 1st, another long count period begins for the Mayan calendar. So, you know, here we are. We've got some voices of reason. Now, something that you talked about last week, I think it was, and I think you just mentioned it about a blackout. You were talking about darkness. What was that? Somebody...
Actually, an alien spoke to the princess of Japan and from the center of the earth and said that all the power is going to go out, that we're going to have 3 days of darkness. No power, no internet, no communications, nothing. Everybody should be prepared that everything goes black.
All right. Now, go ahead. When you're done, I'll give the NASA stance on it.
No. Well, now people might think that NASA is lying, that it's a government cover-up.
Well, they're a civilian organization.
There you go.
Well, they are, but... You know, it's kind of a joke too, but so well. Here's the NASA. Is NASA predicting a total blackout of Earth on December 23rd to December 25th? The answer: absolutely not. Neither NASA nor any other scientific organization is predicting such a blackout. The false reports on this issue claim that some sort of alignment of the universe will cause a blackout. There is no such alignment. Some versions of this rumor cite an emergency preparedness message from NASA Administrator Charles Bolden. This is simply a message encouraging people to be prepared for emergencies. Now, it goes into the next question, too, kind of overlaps. Could planets align in a way that impacts Earth? The answer, there are no planetary alignments in the next few decades, and even if these alignments were to occur, their effects on the Earth would be negligible. One major alignment occurred in 1962, for example, and two others happened during 1982 and 2000. Each December, the Earth and the Sun align with the approximate center of the Milky Way galaxy, but that is an annual event of no consequence. So, you know, that's another one of the big theories, you know, that the planets are all going to align with the center of the galaxy, the black hole, supermassive black hole that's there, and it's going to cause all this stuff. But, you know, that planetary alignment that somebody we're talking about actually happened back in the 90s. It's not an event right now. It's just more hype.
It's not new.
Yeah. Before we go any further, I know we've had someone on hold on the switchboard, but the little hand or the little signal wasn't raised, so I'm assuming that you're, if that's you, that you're just listening to the program on the telephone. We don't have our call screener, John Hightower, with us tonight, so I can't check with you. I'd have to just put you on the air. So if you actually do have a question or comment that you want to talk about, you'll I think you have to push 1 or something like that to raise the hand, or you might have to call back in and listen to the message again and push the button. I just didn't want to ignore you, but I won't pursue that. But if anybody else does have a comment and they would like to call in, the numbers are on your screen, or you can type it in the chat room, which has throngs of listeners in it. All right. Let's see.
You know, I know we do have fun with this because we don't take any of it seriously. And that's, I know for some of the listeners, they might say, geez, you know, what kind of show is this tonight? It's one for people to lighten up. Mm-hmm. We hope that you lighten up through the information, you know, like the NASA.gov. There's many other kinds of sites that you can go to, not just listen to us. We're just trying to make this a little bit lighter for people. What if everything ends on December 21? It doesn't matter. If there is one tiny speck of dust in the universe that happens, it won't matter. You know, I was 5-6 years old going to school, and we learned how to duck under the desks for fear of a nuclear attack by Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I didn't have what Doug did, but there's other things all through our lives.
Too.
Yeah. All through our lives, there is, you know, one measure or another. And I don't know how it changes my life today. This is what I try to get across in my work. Doug tries to get it across in his work. It's what we talk about in the school and with MCHS Church, is that whatever it is that we're learning, we have to bring it into our lives to become better human beings. It's got to make sense. Now, there's a whole mystery to the universe and experiences. How do psychic events happen? You know, how do I know what I know when I tap in to do a reading? These are the mysteries. This is the exploration. This is what we want to learn more about, but we have to do it sensibly. To suddenly say, ah, there's the answer, we get stuck. We limit our minds. We make it smaller. And that's something that I have refused to do in my life. I want to understand it. I want to be able to look at things objectively and sensibly and make sure that somehow it makes my life better. How do I become a better human being? How does my life improve in my conduct? This is not an easy time to live in, everybody. And Doug knows that. I know that. There is pressure at every level, whether it's economic, you know, it's parental, it's family. It's, you know, we're a pretty dysfunctional world if you really think about it. And we're trying to impart good skills. So whenever we do look at things, we like it to be a positive. We want to acknowledge a reality of what's happening, but we also want to see it in a positive. So we're not trying to be, you know, nasty, mean, difficult, you know, flippant, but we are trying to see the lighter side of it, and that, you know, we tend to mock things that we think are silly.
Think are stupid and absurd. And, you know, and I'm glad you said that, because that's a good point. And the thought crossed my mind, well, gee, we're kind of mocking this stuff. And, you know, your first principle belief is to do no harm, do right. And honestly, if we didn't, that would be doing harm and not doing right. So the point really here is think for yourself. Be reasonable. Be rational. Feet planted firmly on the ground. Don't buy into all that hogwash that's out there. The stuff that just promotes fear, that gets people riled, that robs you of your peace. You know, look, the world's been around a long time before we got here, and it will be around a long time after. It's a beautiful place. It's stable. It's, you know, it's just, it's a great place. It's not going to end. And it's the time has got to come when the masses say, you know what, enough of this BS, people. And I'm addressing this to the fear mongers out there, and that includes religions too, big time. I mean, religions are one of the biggest problems with fear, creating fear. You're going to go to hell. Armageddon's coming. You're going to come and kill everybody except chosen few. You know, there's always some reason to be afraid. Well, we can't live our lives in fear. I won't live my life in fear. You know what? If December 21st, the whole world ends, I can't do a thing about it. And I'm not going to fear it for the next 9 days. Not going to do it. I lived in fear. I'm no longer going to live in fear again. And so that's the whole point. Think for yourself. Don't buy into this stuff. And speaking of stuff, let's talk about a couple of more of these different theories. Let's see. Is there a planet or brown dwarf called Nibiru or Planet X or Eris that is approaching the Earth and threatening our planet with widespread destruction? This is a good question here. Here's the answer. Nibiru, and let me just interject here. If you're not familiar with Nibiru, maybe you're familiar with Zechariah Sitchin and his series of books from the ancient Sumerian Texas, where a lot of this comes from. But here's NASA's answer. Nibiru and other stories about wayward planets are an internet hoax. There is no factual basis for these claims. If Nibiru or Planet X were real and headed for an encounter with the Earth in 2012, now listen carefully, astronomers would have been tracking it for at least the past decade, and it would be visible by now to the naked eye. Obviously, it does not exist. Eris is real, but it is a dwarf planet similar to Pluto that will remain in the outer solar system. The closest it can come to Earth is about 4 billion miles. So, and that's another point. And if Nibiru was real, and Planet X, really? I mean, we were talking about Planet X when I was a kid, like, you know, 15 years ago. Not really, though. And if it was going to come close to us, we'd see it. If Nibiru was on that whole 3,600 year elliptical orbit, I mean, we would have seen it by now. Oh,
well,
here's
don't we think though, Doug? Even if it's true, let's say there is a new bureau. Maybe this is the government's just putting out info they want people to know about. Well, how does that change our life today? Isn't it more reasonable to say, well, wow, that's interesting? Or, wow, that's fascinating. Or, gee, I wonder if that's true. Instead of automatically assuming that there is truth to it and suddenly going into fear mode. You know, I mean, it's we're talking about that critical thinking, that ability to be a critical thinker. So, I mean, look, maybe there is some psychic vision about some Nibiru planet, but maybe it's in another dimension, you know? Maybe it's in some other capacity that we just don't have the frame to think about that with. It's just interesting. It doesn't change our lives today in this moment, and that's my point of no matter what we learn. Maybe there is no fact from NASA that there is such a planet. Maybe it does exist in some other dimension, but how does it change my life today?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't. It doesn't.
What's the big point of it? All right, so here's the next one on their list, and it's the polar shift theory. And, you know, this is, I've seen documents. In fact, I watched a documentary last night. Maybe some of you saw it. What channel was it on? One of the science channels, Science, History, National Geographic. It might have been Nat Geo. What is it? Countdown to Armageddon, 2012 Countdown to Armageddon. It was actually interesting because it had some scientists talking about polar shift and addressing whether the magnetic poles can flip-flop and reverse, you know, and throw everything into chaos. And so they're finding evidence that previous polar shifts in the rock, various places around the Earth. They went into Australia and found some. And yeah, the poles have shifted, but they didn't do it in a matter of hours. They did it over a period of a million or more years. So, any kind of polar shift is going to be very, very slow. But here's what NASA has to say, or here's the question. What is the polar shift? Is it true that Earth's crust does a 180 rotation around the core in a matter of days, if not hours? The answer is a reversal of the rotation of Earth is impossible. There are slow movements of the continents. For example, Antarctica was near the equator hundreds of millions of years ago. But that is irrelevant to claims of reversal of the rotational poles. However, many of the disaster websites pull a bait and switch to fool people. They claim a relationship between the rotation and the magnetic polarity of Earth, which does change irregularly, with a magnetic reversal taking place every 400,000 years on average. As far as we know, such a magnetic reversal doesn't cause any harm to life on Earth. Scientists believe a magnetic reversal is very unlikely to happen in the next few millennia. So, sorry, but the polar shift isn't going to mess with us either.
Well, you know, I happen to think that there is some credibility to the Earth tilting. Doug and I have had talks about this, by the way, everybody. You know, when there's these huge events, there's bound to be, you know, a tilt. The Earth does not, you know, it's like a top, and it spins, and it is on an angle. And every time there's this major event, like an earthquake, and Japan is a perfect example of this, you know, it shakes things up. And it does. You know, the wind patterns on Earth have changed. You know, you've got the jet streams have changed. The weather changes. This is a huge globe that even a fraction of a degree will wobble a little. We spin and we wobble. And I do believe that there is some relationship between an axis tilt and weather patterns and how the Earth is trying to create herself. But there is this rumor that she could flip, you know, that the Earth could just do a 180 flip around and, you know, we're all kind of on our heads. You know, what we'd be in Australia, Doug. Okay. That's how that would go.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's possible, I suppose, in some kinds of physics. But, you know, I don't know. There are claims that it does that every 26,000 years, and that we're at a 13,000-year mark.
The wobble does come around. And, you know, is it the word is right on the tip of my tongue here. I'm not a planetary scientist. It's the precession and of the axis, and it does. I mean, it wobbles, and it comes back around every 26,000 years. That's fine, but it again, you know, I mean, there's going to always be changes. I mean, look at the Ice Age. I mean, Ice Ages come and go. You know, deserts come and go. When, you know, weather patterns come and go. I mean, yeah, it's like the Earth grows and adjusts and changes, but most of these different things happen on such long time frames. You know, it to us, with our shorter lifespans here, it's like it's a non-event. There's so many different things. You know, the weather patterns are all going to heck, global warming, all this stuff. And it's like there's no lack of something to be stressed about. And that's one of the points of this program, is just let it go, release it. You know, it's actually a mark of wisdom to not worry about things you can't control. Because if you can't control them, why worry about them? And if you can control them, then control them and don't worry about them. I mean, you're safe either way. So that's a big point.
I think that we have to, I think we have to begin to be more responsible with our decision-making for long-term consequence. I think part of what's offensive to me is that human beings do cause their own catastrophe, but they knew about it. You know, they knew ahead of time, well, if I do this, it just feeds me now. It's a very reactive, gratifying moment. You know, we're gonna dig a bunch of holes and expect that nothing's going to happen. You know, we're going to dig up all that ground and expect nothing's going to happen. I mentioned just, I think it was last week, the week before, Doug, about, you know, throughout Texas and, you know, a great number of states and what they used to call the Dust Bowl, is using up the water in the Ogallala Reservoir. And in 20 years, it's going to be empty. Now, people keep farming, they keep irrigating, and this is what I see happening, is people are going to prophesy some big event down there to say, oh, you know, now we have prophesy, sorry. They're going to say we're going to have a Sahara, but they created it. You see, we have to distinguish the difference between what's a natural event and events that we cause. You know, if,
well, yeah. And on the flip side of that,
we do cause events.
And on the flip side of that, we can also change it in a different way, like the Imperial Valley in California, which was a desert and can, you know, changed into a very fertile farmland. So we have a lot more control. We just need to, and like you said, be responsible with it.
Yep.
Big part of
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
All right, so here's another.
You know, okay, go ahead.
If you've got a thought, you go ahead. I'm just going to read the next thing that's going to kill us.
No. Oh, I'm up for that. What's next, Doug?
Is the Earth in danger of being hit by a meteor in 2012?
Mm.
The answer is the Earth has always been subject to impacts by comets and asteroids, although big hits are very rare. The last big impact was 65 million years ago, and that led to the extinction of the dinosaurs. Today, NASA astronomers are carrying out a survey called the Space Guard Survey to find any large near-Earth asteroids long before they hit. We have already determined that there are no threatening asteroids as large as the one that killed the dinosaurs. All this work is done openly, with the discoveries posted every day on the NASA Near-Earth Object Program Office website. That's a long name. So you can see for yourself that nothing is predicted to hit in 2012. You know, can we be hit by a meteor? Mm-hmm. Sure, we could be hit right now. I mean, there's no guarantees of anything. But, you know, it just...
Doug, you know, about 20 years ago, I was walking downtown in a Canadian city, because I know people all over the world are listening to this, walking downtown... It had just started melting a bit, you know, after snowfall, which I know you don't like to hear about because you're in Florida.
Is that that funny white stuff that falls from the sky?
It is so. And lo and behold, walking down the street, minding my own business, and a piece of ice fell on my head. It from the top of this building, it fell off the edge of this building, hit me on the head, and listen, it knocked me over.
Really?
Because, you know, it gains momentum, you know, when it falls. Mm. And even a small piece of ice can really whack you upside the head. So I had to get up, you know, and I leaned up against this car that's parked there. And he said, wow, that's a cosmic 2x4. You know?
You probably needed it.
I guess I did. You know, it like shook my brains up a little.
The universe whacking you upside the head. Wake up.
You know, and... Here's the thing. People actually told me I should sue the building because they hadn't done their snow removal. And I shake my head and I say, it's an act of nature. It hit me on the head. I suppose the same thing happens when that bird poops on my head when it flies over. You know, I mean, we can make a big deal about all of this, or we can just see that it's funny. I mean,
because
stuff happens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, can a meteor... Meteors are falling to the earth all the time. And could one of those land on your head? Sure. I think you've got a better chance of winning the lotto, but, you know, who knows? It can happen. I am evidence that, you know, a piece of ice fell on my head. So it's a very rare thing that these things can happen, but does that mean that there's something big enough to destroy the earth and wipe us out? If that's true, we're dead anyway, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, so don't worry about it. Can't control it.
That's right.
All right, so here's another one. This is another common one. Is there a danger from giant solar storms predicted for 2012? That's been around the block a time or two here. Their answer. Solar activity has a regular cycle with peaks approximately every 11 years. Near these activity peaks, solar flares can cause some interruption of satellite communications, although engineers are learning how to build electronics that are protected against most solar storms. But there is no special risk associated with 2012. The next solar maximum will occur in the 2012 to 2014 time frame and is predicted to be an average solar cycle, no different than previous cycles throughout history.
I'll bet it's on the 21st of December.
Probably is. Well, it will fall into their time frame. So, you know, yes, it's like things just keep going on. And this is the last question in this on this website here, that the NASA.gov website. How do NASA scientists feel about claims of the world ending in 2012? And their answer, for any claims of disaster or dramatic changes in 2012, where is the science? Where is the evidence? There is none. And for all the fictional assertions, whether they are made in books, movies, documentaries, or over the internet, we cannot change that simple fact. There is no credible evidence for any of these assertions made in support of unusual events taking place in December 2012. And that's a really good point. And this is something we have talked about on this show before many times. If you're going to believe in something, fine. Fine. Believe what you want. But do yourself and the world a favor and at least have a compelling, rational basis for that belief. Be able to defend it reasonably and rationally. Otherwise, don't harbor it. You know, this will, if you just keep your feet planted firmly on the ground and make sure you can reasonably defend your beliefs, at least in your own mind, you don't even have to go around defending them, but in your own mind, you can reasonably defend your beliefs, then you're going to be much more grounded. You're going to be a much better critical thinker. You're going to be far less inclined to follow a lot of the fringe, new agey stuff that there's just no basis for. And it's just much better, less stress, less everything, and you're just much more confident. It's like an evolutionary process. It's a process of enlightenment. It's a process of being complete within yourself. Make sure you have a reasonably compelling and rational basis for your beliefs. There's a lot of these 2012 supporters who, you know, every one of them off on a different tangent. I was watching Brad Mel's, Decoded, Brad Meltzer, I'm not getting his name right, but it's on one of the TV channels there, the documentary channels, and I enjoy the show. They did a 2012 special, which I thought was way beneath what they had done on other stuff, because, you know, they, again, it's about hype. Remember, TV, they gotta hype it. They gotta make it drama, total drama, to get people hype, because that sells. Same with books, same with any of it. So never forget that.
Olga gave you the name in the chat room there. Brad Meltzer.
Yeah,
Decoded.
So I was close. Yeah, thanks.
There you go.
Olga. Brad Meltzer's Decoded. I was really disappointed that they promoted such a thing, you know, and I mean, oh yeah, this could happen. Well, a lot of things could happen. We could win the lottery, an asteroid could hit the
really?
Earth. You know, we could wake up and realize that we weren't sent to this planet after all. It was just a bad dream. You know, there's a lot of things.
I never thought about that. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is all an illusion. I'm dreaming this.
It's a very lucid dream, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like when we're talking about this, it kind of sounds like we don't believe in anything in a way, and that's just not true.
Yeah.
There's a lot of basis to paranormal study. There's a lot of ways to measure energy. There's a lot of ways to... Doug, I mean, help me out here, because there's just so many things to study, mm-hmm. even when it comes to the healing arts, mm-hmm. Talking to plants, to, you know, energizing water.
Well,
and water has memory. You know, I sent you a link the other day about this extraordinary... a little documentary floating around about water having its memory. Of course, it does have a kind of memory. It accumulates energy as it goes. And now there's studies about, you know, water drops and who actually puts the water drop down, and it'll take on a shape or some kind of a form. It's fascinating, fascinating science. So what we want to say to people is that there is an extraordinary universe with an extraordinary amount of consciousness and exploration to be a part of that has nothing to do with fear. So that is our big disclaimer, you know, being careful about what we say to other people. If it's to give you a heads up, which I frequently do, Doug, in readings, give people a heads up, but here's an alternate path. Here's another way to make your life better. Here's a way to improve it. And always giving some kind of encouragement. It's, you know, I talked to a young girl this morning, in fact, who said on the phone, and she said, you know, Vicki, you told me if I could get through 2012, I could do anything. And she said, I believe you now. But I also remember you said 2013 was going to be good. So, you know, it's just a challenging year. And there's a way to say that, you know, there's a way to deliver information that doesn't promote fear. It promotes strength, character, you know, and investigation and learning and growing. So it's, again, not fearful, but it's just investigative, because we're all investigating life. So we do believe in extraordinary things. And I'm speaking on your behalf here, Doug. You know, I suppose I should speak later. Okay. Really? Sorry.
Well, if you don't know me enough by now, then...
I know. Kidding you. I certainly am amazed at the amount of mystery in life and just daily life. I moved to British Columbia in Canada. I haven't seen a girl, an old school chum for 40 years. We just connected on Facebook. The first time I go downtown to Vernon, I bump into her. That's a mystery to me. That's a cosmic intersection. That's fascinating. What does it mean? I don't know. Well, lo and behold, you know, I go back into Vernon 2 weeks later, and I'm in Walmart, and I bump right into her. You know, it's like, holy, you know, 40 years, and we're bumping into each other. Is there some kind of, you know, universal kind of weave that we all kind of are a part of? It's fascinating to watch. What does it mean to my life today? I don't know. And it's okay for us to not to know, but we can also be investigative to find things that support what we're observing. And that's the key, to be a critical thinker and a good observer and be able to say, I don't know, but it sure is interesting. And to be interested in things, but again, without, you know, without attaching all these other possibilities that make no sense at all. You know, it has to all link together. So if something is true in one way, it must also be true in another way. And we're always exploring that. That's part of humanity. That's part of our evolution and part of our collective unconscious and consciousness, and to keep growing in that manner. So that was a nice little speech I gave, wasn't it, Doug?
It was splendid. Excellent.
Splendid, I know.
You know, I want to share something, too. I've been thinking about how this all kind of blends together. So we've been talking about 2012. We've been talking about the realities of it, the fact that it's just a non-event. It's a non-issue. It will be a non-issue, just like Y2K was a non-issue and every other doomsday prediction was a non-issue. It will be a non-issue because there's no evidence to support any of it. It's just hype. It's people's imaginations running wild. And the point that I wanted to make here was that one of my doctoral students just completed her dissertation. Kate is her first name, and she did a really nice job. And I loved her approach to... well, to life, really. It's and the theme was on writing your own love song, you know. So it's talking about, it was just had such a positive, building, lifting, uplifting tone to it. But she talks about expansion of the consciousness, expansion of one's consciousness, expanding your consciousness. We talk about expanding our awareness. It's the same thing. But I liked her terminology. And another thing that she mentions in it and discusses in it is that we are here to experience life, to expand our consciousness. And so we have all these realities in front of us. This is really quantum physics. It's called superposition. We have all these realities in front of us. They're called choices. And we can choose one reality over another one. And we have, in fact, done that. All of us have. We have chosen a reality. We're in it right now. So if you don't like this reality, you can choose another reality simply by making different decisions. And so she says some people are in a reality where there's an adversity. That's because their consciousness wanted to experience and learn the lessons from that. And you can change it. You could go change your reality and learn other lessons. So if you think about it in those terms, there are lessons in all of this stuff. Everything we talk about, there's lessons in it. What are the lessons for me? That's the question that all of us should ask. What are the lessons for me? And as you listen to this program and as you listen to our other programs, always be thinking about that. How can I expand my consciousness? How can I grow as a human being? Because that is what we're really here to do, each in our own way. We grow, we expand, we breathe in all that there is to do on this planet, all that there is to experience. We breathe in all the goodness that we can do. We, you know, the helping of others and the helping of ourselves too. I mean, you know, that's life is to be experienced. It's as they say, not a spectator sport. It's a participant based sport, if you will. So,
well, it's what I call the law of participation, Doug. That when we encounter life, we participate with it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really have to be on any big crusade if we're all participating as we go, but then that also means we all have to be responsible. And to be responsible means you're accepting of who you are, what you are, where you are, and take responsibility for that. Now, there's a lot of things we don't understand. There's a lot of situations we don't understand, but that's part of the journey. And I'll say this honestly, why did I have to get cancer when I did? You know, I mean, it's the old, why me? Why mm-hmm. does it happen? But it's a journey. I say, well, I guess I needed something to do. So we get through that, you know, and it is a journey of learning, exploring. It's just not always what we count on, because we all think we had a plan. You know?
Well, we did. We made different decisions. And we can always do that. We can always make new decisions, you know. All right, so we've been talking about 2012, 9 days and counting. You know, don't hold your breath, because everything's going to be the same the next day. In fact, we've got, you know, Ingrid Irwin in Australia. She's going to report to us, let us know what's going on there. If everything's cool there, then we're probably all going to be okay. So release the fear and the need for that fear. Now, next week, we're going to be doing our semi-annual rite of signature for the Southern Solstice. And it's on the 19th. The solstice, of course, is on Friday the 21st, when we're all going to die. So we got to do it before that time. So we're going to do it a couple of days before. And then after that, we're going to take 2 weeks off through the holidays, and the program will be back on July 9th. So next week, rite of signature. It'll probably be a little bit of a shorter program, but join us, because it's really a time for rethinking where you're at and assessing where you've been over the last few months and year and so forth. So join us for that.
Getting a plan. Good show, Doug. Went mm-hmm. by really fast. Thank you very much. Thanks to everybody who joined us tonight. It's been a good one.
As always, we appreciate everybody joining us, either live or on the archives. Please tell others about the program. And I guess the only thing I have left is to just listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Have an awesome week, everyone. Good night.
Good night.